The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DK Network. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Football, 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 Kelly.
Yeah, let's go.
Kelly Bidelon, everybody. Producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Let me just start with a grievance. I gave the Christmas gifts to everybody, and I find out that they're not betting futures. They're just betting with it. Random events. This is already.
We're talking about one. I'm sorry. I gave the okay.
Breaking of the rules already. It's already a violation. Oh, you try to do something good. Oh, anyway, on the show today, Matt Brown will talk football with us. We usually, I usually start the show, Kelly, by rhapsodizing about something in the first segment, by waxing poetically, some would say. Not today. Dr. Bob is on father duty this morning, so he's going to join us from the outset. The great Dr. Bob Stoll, who's kind enough to do a little 5 minutes with us or 10 minutes with us before he takes the kids to where he needs to take them. We'll do that. Jason Weingarten from Under Cloud of Smoke. Chris Felica will join us to talk NFL Wildcard Weekend, the host of the Bear Bets Pod, both football versions, college and pro. And we'll talk Australian Open, what he's betting in the Australian Open as well. This is the greatest, I'm telling you, man, Wildcard Weekend and the beginning of the Australian Open.
It's awesome.
And after this show, Drew Dinsick and I will do a deep dive, if you will, see what I did, into the Australian Open, where we'll just go player by player. We'll talk about the draw, post-draw sort of podcast on this, who that helps, who that hinders, where his bets lie. We'll get into that a little later on with Drew on the Megapod, but we'll do it with Chris Felica here as well. I added a bet. Kelly, I did take a flyer on Iga not to drop a set, even with her bad draw, not to drop a set, 18-1.
Ooh, okay.
So we shall see.
Like it.
We shall see. No quarters in town, by the way.
So brutal, man.
Come that, on.
Wait, okay, is that one you struggle to find always past tournaments that they've been up?
No, they had gotten that last year, finally, with the new Caesars app, and then as of last night, I didn't see anything.
But even last year, that was the only app in town that had it.
Pretty much.
Or only place
in
town.
As I can recall. Yeah, pretty much.
It is brutal.
MGM has it outside of Nevada, but not in Nevada kind of thing. Anyway, so before we get to Bob here, one note, of course, in case you missed it this morning, one of the seven NFL head coaching vacancies has been filled. We mentioned Gerard Mayo earlier in the week as a likely possibility to replace Bill Belichick. Here's what we did not know. It was written in his contract. Those things are not on file with the league office, or at least not made public, I should say. They're filed with the league office, but not made public. So Gerard Mayo was going to be the Patriots' successor to Bill Belichick. We were speculating. We didn't know that it was going to be factual. He is. Played with the Patriots from 2008 to 2015. Was named team captain in his second year. Won a Super Bowl with the Patriots. And now becomes, Kelly, the youngest coach in the National Football League at the age of 37, 1 month younger than Sean McVay, who for the first time incredible. In his Rams coaching life gets to say he is no longer the youngest coach of the NFL.
Feels like McVay's been there forever now, too.
Wow. I think he was 32 when he got hired. Don't hold me to that. But I believe he was 32. So both of these guys are 37, but Mayo a month younger. So Gerard Mayo, the new head coach of the New England Patriots, which leaves seven vacancies still to be filled. And of course, Jim Harbaugh still out there. Dr. Bob joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, the great Bob Stoll at Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com, pioneer in using predictive algorithms to give us the outcomes of sporting events. He joins us now. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing all right. Up bright and early.
What are the fatherly duties that you have to perform this morning before we let you go?
Yeah, I have to run my kid to school. My wife had a previous engagement this morning, so I am hustling the kids out to school this morning.
All right, submitting ballots to Father of the Year candidacy, Father of the Year award right now. Well done. Okay, Wild Card Weekend, Super Wild Card Weekend. You have a bet that you like above all. What do you like?
Well, sort of surprising, it's going to be super cold in Kansas City on Saturday night. Zero temperatures around zero, 14, 15 mile an hour winds somewhere in there with some gusts. And because of that, the total has been beaten down. The wind is a factor. I mean, 14, 15 mile an hour winds is certainly a factor, and that's in the model. But people get overexcited about, well, it's going to be super cold and the temperature's near zero. There's never been a study that shows temperature has anything to do with scoring. It's just wind, precipitation, and surface type, aside from the players and everything else. But outside forces, temperature does not have anything to do with. In fact, there's studies that show that really hot games are more lower scoring than really, you know, cold games. So I think the line is lower than it should be because of that. And there are tons of other factors. And how long do you have? Because here's a list.
We got time.
First of all, Jalen Waddle's going to be back for the Dolphins. That makes a big difference. The last 2 weeks when Waddle was out, Tua Tagovailoa averaged just 5.8 yards per pass play, compared to 7.5 yards per pass play in the 14 games he's had Waddle and Tyreek Hill on the field. That makes a difference. He should also have time to throw. They've had some injuries on the offensive line. Pro Bowl left tackle Terron Armstead's been out for 6 games. Starting right guard Robert Hunt has missed 6 games, including the last 4 games. That's a big difference. Having Hunt is huge. I mean, having Armstead obviously is great since he doesn't give up a lot of pressures on the outside. But Hunt is huge because the Chiefs have Chris Jones, who led the league interior lineman in pressure rate. Well, Hunt's only conceded 5 pressures in 314 pass blocking snaps. His backup, who's played for, you know, has played basically half the season, has given up 20 pressures, 4 times as many, in about the same amount of pass blocking snaps. So having Hunt back to help contain Chris Jones certainly helps. Kansas City does have a little bit of an outside rush with Karlaftis, who ranks 17th in pressures on the outside. But he's up against right tackle Austin Jackson, who's 3rd in the league in pass blocking efficiency. So I don't think Kansas City is going to get the pass rush. And Tua will have more time than he's had in recent weeks with 2 of his offensive linemen out. But I think that's going to certainly uplift the Miami pass attack, which has been a little, a little bit down recently compared to earlier in the season. And I think that the pass attack in general is going to work well despite the wind. And they can also run the ball. They're 5th in the league in rush success rate. Kansas City's defense is 28th in the league in expected points added per run on defense. So if they are not having great success throwing it, they can still run the ball. So I think there's going to be offense for Miami. And on the other side of the ball, Dolphins stopped the run really well. The tops in the league in the advanced metrics against the run. But I don't think the Chiefs are going to force the run against a really good run defense. That means Patrick Mahomes is going to be throwing the ball, which is great. He should have some time to find his receivers. Kansas City's interior offensive line are responsible for only 34% of the pressures against Mahomes this year, which is 2nd fewest in the league. And they'll be up against a couple pretty good interior defenders in Zeiler and Kristen Wilkins, who are 16th and 17th in pass rushing efficiency. But Kansas City's offensive line is better than those two guys. So I don't think they're going to get a lot on the inside, which is a problem because the Dolphins don't have any edge rushers. Phillips, Chubb, Van Ginkle, and Good, they're all out. So 4 edge rushers are out for the Dolphins that combined for 87% of their edge defender pressures this year. And those 4 guys combined are worth about 2 points to the total. So I think both quarterbacks will have time to throw. And then you get, Travis Kelce should have a good game. He's got a good matchup here. The Dolphins are, giving up a 57% success rate to tight ends, which is 26th in the league. So Kelce has been slumping a little bit lately. That's a lot of that has to do with matchups. I think he'll have no problems against Miami. And Xavier Howard's out for the Dolphins, their best cornerback. He's worth a couple points. He gives up 2.0 yards per target less than his backup, Eli Apple. So that's huge. So I think there's a lot of things that really favor the total. The total is lower than it should be because of the cold. And I don't think the cold has anything to do with it. There should be lower scoring because of the wind, but they're adding a little bit more to it because it's also going to be cold, which I don't think matters. So I see a lot of value on the over. I predict 48 points in the game, and it's 43.5 right now.
And that is why we have you on, Bob, because we haven't had a deep dive into the offensive line play on either side. We haven't mentioned Robert Hunt or Austin Jackson on the Dolphin side specifically. That is why we have you on for that kind of insight. And so for the other, the big narrative of this game, right, if you listen to most is, they're from Miami. They're from Miami. It's going to be so cold for them. I was trying to make the point yesterday that when it gets to a certain temperature, it's cold for everybody. How much do you buy in at all to that kind of narrative?
A little bit. I mean, there has been some studies done that cold, you know, warm weather teams or dome teams don't travel as well in cold weather, especially in the playoffs. There's been something to that. Not enough for me to really factor it in on the side. Like you said, it's cold for both teams, and it's the playoffs. So
yeah.
I think Miami's offense will be fine.
All right, 45 seconds. Is there anything else, side or total, that you like as much as that or enough to mention anyway?
No, there's really not. There's going to be some player props that I'm going to dig into that, you know, and those have done really well over the years in the playoffs. I'll dig into some player props, but nothing else really stands out
okay.
this week. There's a lot of games that are really kind of like, yeah.
All right. That's what we need to hear. Over on the Dolphins and the Chiefs right now, that total consensus at 43. Bob, go take care of the kids. We appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
The great Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob Sports on Twitter, drbobsports.com. Bob Stoll, if you're scoring at home, STOLL. Great dude, too. So that's his play. Over 43, Dolphins, Chiefs, where, again, temperature's supposed to be super-duper cold, single digits at most. Not quite as windy as it will be in Buffalo, where wind's now a little bit tampered down. Mm. No one's mentioning 50 miles per hour anymore, but up to about 30 miles per hour in terms of the gusts and beyond in Buffalo, which we'll get into.
That total keeps ticking down, though. That is, it's 35. There's 34 and a half I'm looking at right in front of me. So, yeah, Buffalo, that total keeps going down.
All right, Matt Brown joins us, the host of All Angles podcast and, of course, The Handle here at VSiN on weekends. We'll talk to him game by game, all six, super wild card weekend, nothing but football and tennis on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter, nothing but football, Super Wildcard Weekend, and some Australian Open talk from Zach Cohen. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. It's Gil Alexander live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D. We get tweets of beating the book. By the way, Phil... And there was another person out there, Phil, at it's PMT 703. And then there was another gentleman who Durbin P24 getting into the whole is Belichick the GOAT conversation. And they're taking the approach that he's absolutely the number one GOAT. And I say, and I go again, I want us to hold the two thoughts in our heads at the same time. He is definitely on the Mount Rushmore. He's definitely there's four on the Mount Rushmore. I cannot call him the GOAT. And you know where I go with this. And we're going back and forth about the great Joe Jackson Gibbs. You guys, everything they throw at me, I'm batting back and everything they try to throw again. So it's just they keep changing the argument. But it is, I will go to the mat with anybody about this conversation. We just won't do it on air. Unless you want to, and then I'm happy to. Phil Weiss. So only Dr. Bob, Jason, and Crack get the title great. Do they pay for that moniker? If not, why wouldn't Drew, Paul, and Pete get the title as well? I think I call everybody great on this show, don't I? At different times?
I haven't caught a pattern on that.
I haven't either. Kevin Ryan, am I the only one that cashed on you using the word rhapsodizing in the first 5 minutes of your opening monologue? Yes, you are.
Yes, I think so.
I think you are. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Matt Brown joins us now from The Handle on the weekend, 7 p.m., which he does with Mike Somich here at the network, and of course, the All Angles football podcast, which again, as he mentioned, turns into the No Angles podcast after football
and,
season.
And maybe not 7 o'clock on The Handle. Yesterday, that's gonna get so whatever. I can't tell you exactly what time it is,
that's right,
but that's gonna change.
Catch him on the handle, TBD.
That's changing,
so that's changing.
So,
okay, yeah, we found that out.
That's
yesterday.
A tease, that's a tease. It's changing. You know what? You know, the GOAT conversation, though, it's not like the Nick Saban one. Saban's the GOAT. He did it at LSU, and then he went and did it at Alabama, and like and did it over this ridiculously long stretch of time. Saban's the GOAT. Like, that one, you can clearly say, and you don't really have a – there's not a strong pushback, right? Like, people can kind of start to, like, going, yeah, but, I mean, different era.
But I'm sure if we talked about it long enough, somebody who's of a certain age would say, nah, Paul Bryant is still the best.
Yes.
Right? So even that. But, yes, I'm with you. Yeah. Like, Nick Saban is much more clear-cut. And again, with Belichick, the last thing I'll say, when you sink to the bottom of the league after Brady leaves, eventually, that has to mean something. Like, you can't get annoyed at the GOAT automatically if that happens. You just can't.
Well, and my opinion. I don't want to get off on it. But also, he had control of the personnel, which made the team sink in.
Yes.
That was another thing. And I guess we're talking strictly coaching or whatever. But, like, you know, he was the one who ran the team.
He's still on Mount Rushmore. Yes. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking him down below that.
Yes.
All right.
He's there.
Let's do chronologically. Shall we do this one game through six chronologically?
Yeah, let's rock and roll.
Let's start with the Browns and the Texans tomorrow afternoon, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 1:30 Pacific, or as we like to call it, the traditional Houston Texans time slot. Every playoff game they've ever played in the early Saturday slot. They are 2.5-point dogs at home against the Cleveland Brownies. What you got here?
I slipped a 1.5 in on the opener when this thing came out. I also played an over 43.5. in the account as well. If you go back, like, I know that there's a couple of different matchups where teams met previously in the season. So if you go back, these teams did play on Christmas Eve. It was a 36-22 Browns win over in Houston. However, I don't really pull a ton from that from the Houston side of things, because that was a Davis Mills game, not a CJ Stroud game. And so from an offensive perspective, you can't really pull a ton from it. I think the one thing that is of note, though, that is that game where Flacco went nuts, 368 passing yards. Amari Cooper went nuts and had the 265 franchise record right. receiving yards, all of that. And that does show, which is what we've seen all season long from this Texans team, mostly difficult to run on, fairly easy to pass on, and then here comes Flacco into town and is able to hook up with Amari Cooper for 265 of his 368 yards in that game. Then we get this weird thing happened last week where these defensive linemen for the Texans have been beat up and trying to play hurt. And then the Colts come in and the Colts go for over 200 yards on the ground, which is just the craziest thing, because the Texans have been literally one of the top three teams against the run all season long in every single statistical category that there is. And you go, well, what if the Browns are going to, no, the Browns are not going to do that. The Browns have abandoned the run. They understand they can't run. Flacco's going to throw the ball 40 plus times in this game. And I think he's going to do it with a pretty good degree of success. They were the resting players team, you know, last week. So the Amari Cooper heel thing should be good to go. He had missed the previous week as it was anyway. So he's had multiple weeks to get that heel good to go. Elijah Moore on the concussion thing, he's good to go. Njoku battling any of his little nicks and bumps and bruises and things like that should be good to go as well for this team. And so since Flacco took over, they are leading the league by a long shot and pass rate over expected, as you would think when a guy is throwing it 40 plus times every single game. I think they go in and really do have a ton of success throwing against the secondary, which everybody has had a ton of success throwing against the secondary all season long. And in return, as good as the defense has been for the Browns, I think Stroud and the Texans are going to be able to move the ball. Like, I think that this has been a team that has shown that they've been able to show up against just about anybody that they played against all season long. And so I don't think it's crazy that this thing gets over the 43.5. I know we've bumped it to a point now where it's on the other side of that key-ish number of 44. I get it. You know, I mean, 43, 44, we get those games where we land about 7% of the time on those two games. And so those are kind of key-ish numbers when we're talking totals. But I expect points in this thing. We'll talk about weather games. I know y'all talk about it all day long today, but this is obviously in a dome. It's a fast track. We have nothing to worry about with that whatsoever. From a prop standpoint, if anyone's looking to play props in this thing, in week 18, a must win game, obviously for the Texans, Devin Singletary got every single one of the running back touches for this team. So, like, it is basically his backfield now at this point. So if you're out there and you're kind of constructing a just for fun, same game parlay thing or something or whatever, just kind of keep that in mind, that it seems like they have turned to Singletary and he's their dude, like, moving forward, no matter what. But at the end of the day, defense, if there's four units that we're measuring in this game, what is the best unit of the four? It is the Browns defense, without a doubt, easily. Now we go head to head on the two offenses. If you want to make an argument to me that they're even, okay. I think the Browns are a little bit better, but that's negligible, right? I'm okay with even. So we're still going with, okay, if the offenses are even, we still have the best defense that we're going into this game with, and it's under a field goal. And so for me, even at this number, 2.5, anything under a field goal for me on the Browns is something I think is pretty playable. And I think the Browns are like the weird team that could go on that weird Giants kind of heater, you know, and make some noise in the AFC. I don't think the AFC is like a lock for the Ravens by any stretch.
So a couple of things. So just to clarify, mm-hmm. you're both on the Browns and on the over.
Yep.
Yeah, and you are about the over without ever mentioning the thing that a lot of people have been saying this week, which is the Browns defense doesn't travel as well. You didn't make that note as well. I guess that's not part of your thinking.
No, and the other thing about the over, which in this we'll see how this all breaks from an injury standpoint for the Browns, but if you look, I mean, Denzel Ward popped up on the injury report. He was full practice, and then downgraded to limited, and that's obviously never good. Midweek downgrades into limited. If Denzel Ward's not out there for the Browns, that obviously could lend towards an over as well. I mean, we're talking about one of the handful of dudes that are still one of the elite corners in the league that actually make a difference when they're out there, and so that's something to monitor as well. But we won't know until 90 minutes before kickoff with all of that. I mean, if I think there is a case to be made for the under, playing my own devil's advocate here, which comes along the lines of, okay, the Browns defense is good. This is it's still a rookie head coach with a rookie quarterback, and Tank Dell, who was a main part of that offense, that is no longer isn't going to be out there, isn't going to be that kind of go-to guy. And then Flacco, at the end of the day, as good as he's been, he still has turned the ball over a ton and things like that.
This was my question. So as you were saying, the Browns, you think, have that New York Giants thing in them where they could go on a playoff run. What is more likely in your head, that will happen, or the likelihood of a Joe Flacco having a game where you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that's really his level? And as you said, he has turned the ball over a lot already. And I would even argue some of his most beautiful touchdown highlights were the threading of a needle that was so close where I'm like, "Ooh, that might have been fortunate."
The other thing too, Gil, in this is that I think that there's a scenario that also plays out where defensive coordinators are smart. These teams are smart. They've had time to kind of prepare and stuff. Like, remember, Flacco got called off the couch a month and a half ago. Like, so there wasn't, oh, let's prepare for the Flacco-led Browns,
right,
you know?
Right.
Where they go in and say, you know what, this team just doesn't ever run the ball. So if they're just going to pass, and if they're just going to pass all of it, let's invite them to run the ball, which they don't do well and they don't do efficiently. And so let's just sit here and play in these kind of like weird shell defense. And I think that there is a chance that they run into that somewhere along the way as well, and then Flacco just can't handle the fact where it's like, oh, they know I'm throwing every single time. They are trying to prevent me from throwing every single time, and with that, we're having to get out of our rhythm here, get out of the offense that we've been fairly successful with so far. That said, I don't think it's the Texans that are able to do that to them. I think it's probably whatever there happens to them down the line.
Sounds like, if I'm reading between the lines, you think the Browns run, a good run into the postseason, is more likely than a Flacco bomb, if you, or just an explosion, if you will, in a bad sense. Okay, we'll get to the two weather games next. Those are the next two, chronologically. And I sense a pattern from Matt about both of them. We'll get into that on the other side. Super Wild Card Weekend with Matt Brown on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. Oh, more's good, too. Mm-hmm. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guaranteed. And for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN, you'll get 4 free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and 4 free rich, juicy, boneless pork chops with your order. Oh, minimum purchase may apply.
50% off and $30 off? Man, that's a steal right there. Stealing steaks.
Which mathematical thing do you do first? That would also alter things.
Yeah, and I don't know. Just pointing that out. We shouldn't be deep diving into that, but yeah, you're right. That would matter.
It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Matt Brown joins us once again from a floating handle, which we don't know exactly when it's on. A floating handle.
It will be on at some point on Saturday and Sunday.
That's right.
So you just got to listen all day long. You just got to tune in all day.
All angles, which the clock is ticking right on.
Listen all day long.
There it is.
That's the tip. Just listen all day long until you hit the handle, and then stay listening once you hear it. Okay, so the next two games, talking about Saturday night now, is the Dolphins at the Chiefs. We're just talking to Dr. Bob about how cold it's going to be there. We had Kevin Roth on from Roto Grinders, your buddy also, yesterday. It's going to be freezing. Bob likes the over here. And then Sunday morning's first game is the wind game between the Bills and the Steelers, where the Bills are 10-point favorites. I have noticed, sir, that you have steered clear of both. Is that correct?
I have.
Is that because of you? You just don't want to deal with it?
So I originally put on Sunday night a Dolphins +3.5 in my account, with the caveat that I said, this is injury. This is injury report dependent, and depending on how this all breaks, I might buy off of this. Well, shortly after that, I mean, like 3 hours after the lines open, towards the end of our show, whenever they say, oh, by the way, we're going to be down three defensive starters already, like they knew that those guys were already done so. And then you go in, and now we get this injury report that came through not great again for the Dolphins, in which we're looking at Xavien Howard being out for them. And then you also have pretty key guys that are questionable in there. You know, Javon Holland is questionable. Raheem Mostert is questionable. Jalen Waddle is questionable. It was just too much for me to try and handicap as to what this offense is going to look like at all against a Chiefs team that, let's be fair, has not looked good all season long. It's and 4.5 still seems like a big number, but
yeah, that was my whole handicap on Monday, because I did take the Dolphins plus 3.5, and I get it. I got the worst of it because it's 4.5 now. But that's my thing. It's sort of like, and I feel like, and I know I'm not, but I feel like I was telling Kelly this way, where it's like I feel like I'm the only human being on the Dolphins in this. But it just, that's the inconvenient detail right there, right? Which is, have y'all watched the Kansas City Chiefs play this year? Like, what is there?
Then you go and you like break up the season. And so, listen, season-long stats can be misleading, certainly heading into the playoffs, right? Like, do we want to know what did they really play like the second half of the season? Then what did they play like kind of those 4 or 5 weeks leading into the playoffs?
Right.
And the reason I say 4 or 5 weeks is because like some teams didn't play anybody in week 18. So you kind of have to lop that off of there. And you look at the Chiefs, and as amazing as that defense was the first half of the season, in which we were sitting there talking historically good and blah, 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 they're like middle of the pack over the second half. And that's not bad. They're not bad, but it's not this like, oh, it's the number one defense in the NFL. Oh, it's they're setting all these records. So they're literally like 15th, 16th, 17th in several different categories over the second half of the season. So it is not this lockdown, crazy good defense that we saw either. And so now you couple the fact with that the offense has looked clunky all season long. And now this weather thing comes into play. I will say this. If this weather, I will say, even though it's not in my account right now, if this injury report goes at least halfway decent for me, I will take the 4.5 on the Dolphins for sure. Because I don't think a run out victory, given the conditions, given everything that's gone on. I know we think high flying offense because of Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Tua throwing it all over the place. And those are the highlights and stuff. But this is actually a super highly, highly efficient rush offense as well for the Dolphins. And so if this comes down to a point where the weather's so incredibly terrible, they cannot move the ball through the air. It's not like it's this massive disadvantage for the Dolphins. I think we think like, oh, because Tyreek Hill and Tua and Waddle, that all they can do is pass the ball, but that's not the case. This is a top five rushing efficiency offense over the course of the NFL season. So I am more on your side than I am on the other side with all of this. And if you are one of those guys that goes and looks at game logs, just remember that game they played was in Germany. It was that really weird game. It was like where the Chiefs scored all 21 in the first half. One of them was a defensive score. Then the Dolphins only scored 14. All of that came in the third quarter. I would not take anything from that game. That was just like one of the weirdest games I watched all season long. So I think you just fresh handicap this one, which is, in my personal opinion, a very average Chiefs offense, a defense that has regressed. Not bad. I'm not saying they're bad, but they were one or two in every single category. Now they're more 15, 16 in all the categories over the second half of the season. And you're getting 4.5 points with a team that I think can run the ball pretty good on them.
That's Saturday night on Peacock, unless you're in Kansas City, Miami. I'm told if you have YouTube TV, you also get it, by the way. Forgive me for the tweeter who I didn't identify.
And that also just applies to the U.S. I know that much. So if you're in Canada or wherever else that you get regular NFL coverage, it's on your normal NFL channel.
How convenient.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Exactly.
I don't know if they even have the Peacock in other countries, you know? Like, we don't know that.
Your services aren't worldwide? I would think so.
Always funnier when you throw the in front of it. All right, so Sunday morning, the Bills and the Steelers. Steelers, 10-point dogs. I took the points here. But this is the game where, you know, depending on what Doppler you're reading here, anywhere between 25-mile-per-hour winds to 40-mile-per-hour gusts is kind of akin to that Bills-Patriots game we remember from a few years back.
Yeah, I don't have anything in this one. I guess you would always lean towards taking 10 points in a game with a 35 total. I think the only thing that scares me off is just we look last week and we see like that game between the Jets and the Patriots, and it was a 17-3 game. And it's like they would have covered the 10 points, you know, in a game that was ugly and sloppy and disgusting, which was the only thing kind of in the back of my mind that kept me off of taking the points with the Steelers. If you do want to kind of look at just overarching stuff heading into this game, one of the weird things about the the Bills since Brady took over as the offensive coordinator is he's just made this a much, much more run heavy and run focused team. And James Cook averaging nearly 17 carries per game. He's getting about 3.5 targets per game. All of those are very close. It's just extension of the run game type targets. So you're really looking at a guy who's getting about 20 attempts per game. Josh Allen over the last 2 weeks in these must win scenarios, he has 27 carries over the last 2 weeks as well. So I know it's a low total, but if we believe that the weather is going to be a factor, if we believe that this could really affect like one foregoing any sort of field goal attempts in that mid 40-ish range, and now you go for it, and that doesn't equal always, that isn't always going to equal points or whatever, or it at least extends these drives much, much, much longer. I think even at 35, I mean, like it's probably an underplay for me when it's all said and done. I don't have a ton of conviction that either one of these teams is going to light up the scoreboard given the conditions and things that are going on. I think the Bills just want to run the ball. I think that that is something they just have decided that they want to be. That's their identity at this point. And, you know, you could easily see a scenario in which this is just the, you know, the Bills could be like, I mean, it's 10 points. So, I mean, could it be a scenario where it's 20-10 and, you know, and the Bills just run the clock out. They just have a 4-minute drive in which it just kills the rest of the game and stays under the 10, comes into play, maybe, maybe not. So I would lean under in that one, even though it's not in the account quite yet.
How much more rich is this weekend, though, with the two weather games? It's so awesome. It's what makes football so great this time of year. Let's go to the second game. We'll squeeze this one in. The Cowboys, 7.5 now, seeing 7, right? 7-point favorites hosting the Green Bay Packers, down to the 7 here.
Yeah, I took it at the 7.5 on the Packers, and it is really wild because, you know, listen, you just have to do some stuff where you go in and you go, man, I was really, really wrong about that. And like the beginning of the season, I was just really, really wrong about Jordan Love. I thought that what we saw from him is, no matter how long the dude sat, he didn't absorb anything and wasn't going to be able to make it in the NFL. And then you go, and like we said, the season is kind of broken up into different parts. And so you go and you start at week 10, which gives you the second half numbers for the season. Jordan Love was Pro Football Focus's third graded passer over the course of the second half of the season. If you go in and look at EPA plus CPOE composite, which is expected points added and completion percentage over expected, if you go in, Jordan Love, third in the NFL over the second half of the season in that statistic as well. He's literally been one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL over
it's
the
season.
I thought he was toast. Like, I mean, seriously, like, I thought he was done. He's been really, really, really good. And then these like secondary receivers that have had to step in because Christian Watson has been injured, Bo Melton and Dontavian Wicks and all of that. Like, these dudes are running routes on like 70%+ of all the dropbacks. They're getting 20%+ target shares and they're converting and doing very, very well for them. I look at a game in which I expect both teams to be able to move the ball and score, because as good as that offense has been, the defense has been equally poor. And so it's not like the Cowboys aren't going to be able to score on them in this, but I kind of feel like this is one of those last team has the ball type scenarios where we're going to be figuring out who wins this game, because the Packers are going to be able to score. You look at the Cowboys defense and it's just average. It's not bad, but it's an average defense. It's somewhere sitting between 12 and 16 in any of the categories and stuff that you look at. And so I think on the other side of a touchdown is too much, and we might see it again because it is the Cowboys, and you know they could get some money come kickoff.
You agree that if the Cowboys were to lose outright, McCarthy's gone, and that Jerry Jones is going to take a shot at Belichick?
Oh yeah.
I think it's done. Yeah. Boy, oh boy, would that
he might
be
anyway, even if they win.
That's right. Still might be in play because they could lose next week. Two more games to get to. Matt's got a side play in both. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game, get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Johnny Millionaire. Dr. Bob mentioned how good Miami's run defense was during the season, and although he mentioned Chubb, Phillips, and Van Ginkle's injuries in that spot, wouldn't they impact Miami's rush defense numbers? He quoted, "Give me Spags to game plan to harass Tua into a poor game." Well, Bob is on the over. If anything, you know, those absences will help the over. Am I misreading Johnny Millionaire's tweet on that? those absences will help the over. John Balducci, just a reminder, a friendly reminder, that the fine folks in Buffalo chose not to put a roof on their shiny new stadium. Okay, take that. Jason H11, come on, Gilly, you know the top five coaches in NFL history are Curly Lambeau, Weebe Eubanks, Sid Gilman, George Allen, and Buddy Parker. This is from... Summer Hutchinson. Sumner Hutchinson has this to say. He goes, all this love for Love, talking about Jordan Love here. He says, let's dive into what he has played or who he has played in the latter half of the season. He says. So a little pushback on all of Jordan Love's great success. I would argue that Jordan Love's success, though, it started before the last stretch of the season as well.
And the advanced stats, like, take into account opponents and things and whatever.
They're all
so
adjusted.
Everything's adjusted, so...
Let's go to Saturday night. The Rams and the Lions. This is a game that I am not involved in. And the push and the resistance here is when it gets to 3.5, everybody grabbing the Rams. It has settled in at 3 here in favor of the homestanding Lions. The old Goff-Stafford trade referendum game.
Since you get to read some tweets, I get to read one as well.
Please.
We did get one. Thanks. Fading your idiotic takes on VSiN have made me rich. Keep up the great work. We just got this one just came through.
That was just to me.
We just got that one just now.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
There we go. So I told him to send me a video of him swimming in his vault of gold, Scrooge McDuck style. You know, like whatever. Like since he got made rich. Let me see this proof. Proof, man.
Listen,
let's do it.
You know, I always used to say this about Towns. I go, well, the people who are bragging that they were 8-0, just as valuable are the 0-8s.
Telling you,
just as valuable.
Yeah, if you're making money, well, yeah, good for you.
I'm here for the people. That's what I'm here for.
Appropriate thanking of Matt Brown.
Rams and Lions. Yeah. So this was 3.5. I actually think that this one could also get back to 3.5. So if you want a Rams bet, I think that you can just kind of hold out here. There are juice threes that are available industry wide right now. This is also the last game on a Sunday where we're going to get some very enthusiastic Lions fans come in. I imagine we will see 3.5 pop. Now you're going to have to get it fairly quick and because it's going to get bought up on the Rams side. But I think if you don't have it and you want the Rams side, I think it will show again. So I'd hold out there. There's one that's juiced all the way to -118 right now. So that one obviously on the cusp of going as it is. I look at a very, very efficient Rams offense, which I didn't think was going to be the case. And honestly, the weirdest thing about this Rams team was heading into the season, I had them as the fifth worst defense in the NFL. And then they finished up the season league average. Like they're about, you know, 15th, 16th overall, which was good enough when you add in what they were able to do with Puka Nacua and Kyren Williams and Cooper Kupp has come around over the second half of the season. I know it was like weird there for a while where the offense actually got less efficient.
Thank you.
Like whenever Cooper Kupp came in, but they figured that out.
See, you thought I was crazy, Kelly Bidlin. All y'all did.
They figured that out at least a little bit, right? Like there's it's almost equal distribution now as opposed to where it seemed like it was, oh, we got to get Cooper back in the fold, you know? And so
I believe the term I used was go feed your boyfriend the ball more.
Yeah. So there's that or that, you know, or that for sure. On the Rams side of things, this is not a discount of what the Rams have done. I mean, about what the Lions have done over the course of the season at all. It's just on the other side of a field goal with two teams that I believe are, whenever you look at my power ratings, are fairly equal. I mean, we're only talking like separation of a couple of spots here. And on the other side of a field, I understand there will be some home field advantage. I know this is going to be a very crazy crowd and the Lions fans are going to be going nuts, but the loss of Laporta, and I understand that there's this, they're saying that this like outside chance of him playing.
Yeah, that crept up late in the week. Yeah.
Let's be for, like, it was a bad knee injury. If he plays, it's going to do it'll be the whole like come in. Remember when Gronk was hurt that one postseason? He only came in when they were inside the 10-yard line. And so like, it'll be something like that. Like it's not going to be him playing and moving the chains and all the stuff which he was so important for this team over the course of the season.
He did practice yesterday though. Right?
No, it was DMP. It was work on the side.
Work on the side,
and it was the he felt better about the work on the side than he thought he would or whatever it might be. The Lions offensive line absolutely phenomenal over the course of the year. Frank Ragnow, highest graded center in the entire league. Penei Sewell, best run blocking tackle in the Pro Football Focus era over the last 5 years. That's how good he was, and that's how you can see the rushing offense here for the Lions was actually really efficient as well over the course of the year. But you look what Laporta brought, and it was the chain moving. It was the touchdown making. It was the stuff over the middle of the field in which you don't really have that consistent performer. Although Amon-Ra St. Brown can get it done in that role. He's way better with him just moving him all over the field, keeping defenses guessing, getting mismatches, and that's what has really fed him so well this year. This line, and on the Rams side of things, if you look at Matthew Stafford, I thought he was going to maybe hang it up at the end of the year. I thought it was going to be one of those deals where this is like, okay, I'll play out the slide season. No, he's been one of the top seven quarterbacks in the NFL all season long. Again, you go season-long stats, you break it down to half season, you break it down to last 5 weeks, all of those every single time is consistently up there with what he's been able to do and from an efficiency standpoint in all of this. The Rams defense does just enough to keep this thing inside the field goal, and I don't think it's crazy at all in order for us to give a pretty better than average chance of an outright upset here. I mean, Dan Campbell's a great story and all that, but like, let's be for real. He's done some things over the course of this season where you just sit and you go like, I get it. You're rah-rah guy. Like it's all, but.
And if that's Brandon Staley, you murdered him for it.
Yes. Yeah. But we like Dan Campbell. Right. And like, but he has done some very, very, very questionable things over the course of the season. And you can't even say, again, let's just go no further than last week, deciding to play starters all game long. And now he might've lost his star tight end for this week. Right. I mean, like these are all things that, you know, over the course of a season end up catching up with you. I think the coaching advantage, certainly on the Rams side of things as well. I will say this, it's not always a person X is out and that means Y gets more stuff. But I do find it very, very hard to believe that Amon-Ra St. Brown doesn't get just, I mean, seriously, like maybe 14, 15 targets in this game. So like if you're playing some sort of props, if you're playing some sort of same game, probably if you're playing anything like that, he was already getting a 30% target share over the last month as it is anyway. I think that there is a Goff just locking in on his dude. Now, I don't know if that equals how efficient that will be, but I think that there will be some, I think there will be some extra targets heading Amon-Ra St. Brown's way.
All right, last game is Monday night. Remember, it's 2 tomorrow, 3 on Sunday, 1 on Monday night. It's the Bucks and the Eagles. The Eagles are up to a 3-point favorite. This is the one that you and I are the same on here. We're simpatico on this one, Matt. My handicap is admittedly flimsy. My entire handicap is, okay, I get it. The Eagles stink. They have to be able to win this game, though, right?
Yeah.
What is your handicap?
So, I tucked the 2 into the account when this first came out on the thought that, listen, if this injury report goes the Eagles' way, this is easily going to get to 3 and maybe the other side of 3. It got to 3 before the injury report went their way, so who knows where this is going to go when, you know, Hurts is like, okay, officially in, A.J. Brown is officially in, all of that. I mean, I think we're going to be on the real good side of this one. What I can't shake, you want to talk about flimsy handy, like what I can't shake, and I'm not a talent evaluator or anything, but that game last week, Baker Mayfield was not hurt. Baker Mayfield was injured.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he was, yes. And he was wildly inaccurate. Baker Mayfield, for the vast majority of the season, had a pretty good year. If you can go in and you can look, and like his
had a perfect passer rating in one game.
His accuracy was really good. He was certainly on the, one of the things he was very, very good at this year was if you go in and you look at like when throwing to open target, and like he missed so many open throws last week.
And
I imagine you're playing quarterback with a bad rib injury, right? Like it's hard to like make that work.
And then
he leaves with an ankle injury.
Every time he got off the field, it was like painful to watch.
And then he leaves with an ankle. So he adds another injury on top of that one. And I cannot shake that. Like I get it. The Eagles defense has been over the last little bit. I can't shake the fact that it might not matter because they might only have to score 17 points in this game to get it done, you know, because Baker, I think, is not playing hurt. I think he's playing injured, and that's a completely different scenario.
And Jalen Hurts, if you're to believe him, seems like he's doing much better.
All the beat writers say that him, Brown, Slay's back at practice, Devon Smith's back at practice, like all of that, like it's, they're going to be as healthy as they can be.
We're not asking the Eagles to win the Super Bowl here. We're asking them to beat the Bucks.
Yeah. By 2 points. Yeah. Yeah.
2.5 in my case. Yes. But all right. So for Matt, Browns given the 1.5. He took the over in the Browns Texans game. He got 43.5. He's got the Packers with 7 in the hook. He's got the Rams with 3 in a hook. He's got the Eagles -2.
Some of those hooks might come back. So keep your eye out.
Yeah. Might come back. Would you take them at +7 and +3 in the Packers and Rams?
I would still play it if I wanted that side, but I think you can hold out and they'll come back.
Okay. Matt Brown, everybody. The Handle is the show with Mike Somich on the weekends here. All Angles podcast 3 times a week during football season. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We're coming back with Chris Velika next.